Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to BQ&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. That's right, my friends. That's our promise to you. We use the Bible in this show, and we love to hear from God's Word. Hope you're all doing great today. This is Pastor Ricardo, your Drive Time host, and also the pastor of Prospect International and Elizabeth Seventh-day Adventist Churches, coming to you, not live this time, but we are pre-recording this program from Adelaide, the beautiful city of Adelaide, at the Faith FM studio. We, for you, it would be December 25th, and I hope that you are spending a nice Christmas if you celebrate Christmas along with your family and friends. Anyways, we're delighted that you're tuning in today, and I pray that you'll find this next hour insightful and positively different. So the theme for this week is New Year's resolutions. And we know that every time we get to this time of the year, we start thinking of what we've done during the year, what could be done better next year. So we feel encouraged to make resolutions. So that's why we're talking about New Year's resolutions during this week. So just in case you've missed any of our previous programs, just visit faithfm.com.au, go to Programs and Podcasts, and then go to Drive Time BQ&A. That's the name of our show. And there you'll be able to find all the previous programs, yes, that we've recorded. You can also text us in case you needed any help in doing this. Now, yesterday you would have listened and looked to the previous program at how modern medical research confirms that the ancient biblical health principles were always right. And today, the big question is a better family. What does the Bible say? So today I'm joined by Pastor David here at the Faith FM studio, and he's the lead pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in South Australia, and of course a regular co-host every Wednesday. And he will be guiding us through our study this evening. Welcome, David. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Ricardo. How are you?
Very good. Trying to get my head around this concept that I'm pre-recording, thinking that I'm on the 25th of December when it's not, but hopefully for our listeners, it will make sense.
Yes, and as you've said, this is a pre-record because on Christmas Day, I won't be in our Adelaide studio, and nor will you.
That's right. That's right.
But certainly for New Year's, we're looking forward to New Year's Day, aren't we?
Yes. Mm. And the resolutions that God will impress our hearts
Absolutely. To
make. I hope that we keep them strong as we go through the year.
Do you actually make New Year's resolutions yourself, Ricardo?
Yes, I have. Sometimes I cannot keep them, that's to be honest.
And would you say you're someone that, I'm putting you on the spot, and then I'll share my perspective. Are you someone that keeps New Year's resolutions?
Or? I have kept some, but not all of them. I find that by the end of the first 3 months, some of the resolutions I'm no longer able to keep for different reasons.
Mm.
I'm trying to be strong in the aspect of health, you know.
Yes.
So doing more exercises.
Yep.
That is one of my best.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because, I mean, that can be a challenge to keep, can't they?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I'm sure there are some people out there that would swear by them and, and you know, they keep them. But yeah. They can be a challenge, whatever they are, or you might have too many.
That's true, yes.
And then you get a bit downhearted when you realize you're not sticking to them. And it can maybe turn some people off them. But others will say, no, it's fantastic.
Yes. Or maybe the weather changes throughout the year and then you don't feel like going out for a walk or to the gym or whatever,
yes.
And things change. So I think there's a few factors that can give us more chances of keeping our promises, and that is surrounding ourselves with like-minded people.
That's true.
That helps a lot. Being accountable to someone else.
C- key thing, definitely, to uphold them. And probably not having a massive list of New Year's resolutions either.
That's true. That's very true. Mm. So today we're talking about the importance of family and what resolutions we can think of for next year in order to improve our family life. And for that reason, I was trying to find an article that talks about family, and I found this one from Associated Press, October 26, 2024. It's a sad one because it talks about what a lot of families are going through in the U.S. at the moment. The title says, "Migrant families separated under Trump still feel the fallout and they fear his return to office." Of course, this was written in October, so now Trump has been re-elected. 16-year-old Billy's friends at his rural high school in the South don't know he was one of thousands of children separated from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border under then-President Donald Trump's zero-tolerance immigration policy. At school, where he plays football and soccer, Billy doesn't talk about what he went through. Then his father was told 6 years ago that Billy was being given up for adoption and feared he would never see his son again. With the United States on the verge of an election that could put Trump back in office, Billy wants people to know that what happened to him and several thousand of other children reverberates still. Some families have not been reunited, and many of those together in the U.S. have temporary status and fear a victorious Trump carrying out promised mass deportations. It was a very painful thing that happened to us, said Billy, who was 9 at the time. The Trump administration aimed to criminally prosecute all adults coming across the border illegally. Parents were separated from their children who were transferred to shelters nationwide. Of course, we're not focusing on whether this was right or wrong. We're just focusing on what these families are going through. This is very sad. Most of the families who were separated years ago are in legal limbo, their immigration status in doubt. Under a settlement announced last year between families and the Biden administration, the families have 2 years to apply for asylum under a more favorable process. The Trump administration's policy deviated from the general practice of keeping families with children together when they come to the southern border. The goal was to dissuade people from criminally prosecuting everyone who crossed. The goal was to dissuade people by criminally prosecuting everyone who crossed the border. For families, parents were prosecuted. Kids who cannot be held in custody were treated as unaccompanied minors and transferred to shelters. The American Civil Liberties Union, which brought a lawsuit against the Trump administration that helped end family separation, puts the number of separated children closer to 5,500. Imagine that. 5,500 children have been separated from their families.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it, to think the impact that would have.
Yes. Now, many of these children have now spent nearly their entire lives without their parents by now. So, yeah, and it says the article at the end, Billy's father, meanwhile, still cries when he talks years later about what he and his son went through. Yeah, feel sorry for these families, and this goes to show that how important families are. They should be kept together. Families are important to God. God designed families. God designed marriages.
Very true. So those two things, marriage and family, were two things. God is the architect.
Yes.
And the builder of those things as we let him.
That's why we suffer so much when families are affected. When our family gets affected by something, when we get separated, we suffer. Because God's design was for families to be together. I know that Jesus said something in relation to marriage, and that implies also families, right?
Yes.
In his mind, this is very important. wonder if you can read Matthew 19 and see what Jesus said about families or marriages in these verses, 4 to 6 perhaps.
And this is what Jesus says, Matthew 19, 4 to 6. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. And I guess, Ricardo, this is a pretty significant thing. Two individuals, different individuals, male and female, biologically different, come together. So there is this diversity, male and female, but then they come together as one, one flesh.
Yes.
And so there is a union, a joining. And then Jesus says, let no one separate. And so, as you've said, by extension of husband and wife, in the Bible, Jesus says in Genesis, God says, go forth and multiply, bear fruit. And so have children, in other words. And so children, for many relationships, many marriages, children are a part of that. Now, some people choose not to, and that's, you know, that might be by choice or otherwise, and we respect that. That can be a very difficult thing.
Yes.
But for many people, they choose to have a family, which brings with it incredible responsibility.
Yes.
Reward.
And rewards as well.
Yeah. Sadness at times, but great responsibility as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I guess the principle in this verse is that whatever God has done, we have no right to undo. If God has joined a couple together, we should not create this unity. If God has meant for us to live in a family, or if whenever there is a family, we should not cause disunity
to break. Absolutely,
because
absolutely.
God thinks very highly of these family relationships, marriages, families, parents and children, all of that.
And let's face it, marriage was a service, a gift that came out of the Garden of Eden before sin.
Yes.
It was there to bring people together, a male and a female, biologically different, to come together in a very intimate relationship, in fact, in a sexual relationship as well as every other form of intimacy, so that they could have a family.
Yes.
And to fill the earth. And so this union happens best when there is unity.
That's right. In every sense.
Sense of the word.
So if according to God, families are so important, then it makes sense that as we approach the end of the year, we make good resolutions in order to improve our family life.
Absolutely, and that's certainly what we want to talk about today. What New Year's resolutions can we make with regard to family? And we need to note that whatever God has given as a gift, male-female uniqueness, a marriage, God brought man and woman together, the seventh-day Sabbath was a gift out of Eden.
As well.
Sexuality. And the gift of sex in a married relationship, a committed marriage relationship, they're all gifts from God amongst many, many others. And what we need to be mindful of in all of these gifts and many more which God has given, Satan is going to attack hard the gifts that God has given. And so I guess, the importance of, and I don't get hung up on New Year's resolutions myself, but the importance of having a focus and having goals when it comes to family is really important. And to even to evaluate them, how are we going?
Yes, because if we have a peace at home, a good family, then everything else will be positively affected.
It impacts everything.
So it's a
when we do and when we
thing.
Don't.
Yep. Yes, yes.
They're very good.
Excellent. So let's come to a break and listen to a song by Sandra Enterman. The song is called If I Stand.
There's more that rises in the morning than the sun, more that shines in the night than just the moon. There's more than just this fire here that keeps me warm in a shelter that is larger than this room. And there's a loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiment, and a music higher than the songs that I can sing. Stuff of earth competes for the allegiance, only to the giver of all good things. So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pour me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that has born in me these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a girl who is longing for her home. There's more that dances on the prairies than the wind, more that pulses in the ocean than the tide. There's a love that is fiercer than the love between friends, more gentle than a mother's when a baby's at her side. And there's a loyalty that's deeper than mere sentiment, and a music higher than the songs that I can sing. The stuff of earth competes for the allegiance I owe only to the giver of all good things. So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pour me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that has born in me these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a girl who is longing for her home. So if I stand, let me stand on the promise that you will pull me through. And if I can't, let me fall on the grace that first brought me to you. And if I sing, let me sing for the joy that has born in me these songs. And if I weep, let it be as a girl who is longing for her home. And if I weep, let it be as a girl who is longing for her home.
Was Sandra Enterman, If I Stand. If I stand on the Lord's promises, then everything will be fine. Dear friends, our giveaway this week is the book Whole Person Health by David Marshall. And if you would like to have a free copy of this book, the code you need to text us is SA245. SA stands for South Australia, and then the numbers 245. No spaces in between, just in case. SA245, and our drive time number is 04-888-808-11. Simply save that number on your phones as drive time. It's going to make it easier for you to send us the code every time you need it. And we'll be delighted to send you a free copy of this book. Of course, you can use this number for any comments, any feedback, any prayer requests, or simply, if you would like to say, I'm such and such listening from this place, we always love to hear from you. So again, the code is SA245 and our number is 04-888-808-11. Whole Person Health by David Marshall is a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being, not merely the absence of disease. This is what this book is all about. So, how is it achieved? David Marshall explores the interrelation of the physical, social, mental, and spiritual aspects and searches for the basic principles that undergird that whole person health, because God wants you and I to be completely well. He's interested in our physical aspect and in our spiritual aspect as well. And God wants you to be completely happy. So once again, the code is SA245 and our number is 0488-808-11.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, dear friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A right across Australia with Pastor Ricardo. And my co-host today is Pastor David. And the theme that we are exploring this week is New Year's resolutions, as you may have guessed. And the big question for today is a better family. What does the Bible say? Would you like to have a better family? Of course, we all do. David, what does the Bible say about improving our family life? I mean, is there any hope or advice in the Bible for broken families, for example?
Look, there is. And as we've said, families, the family unit comes straight out of Genesis, straight out of God's plan. But before we get into it in a deeper way, Ricardo, would you be interested to know the top four New Year's resolutions for 2024? In other words, at the start of this year.
That would be interesting.
What do you think would be number one?
Well, I'm guessing it's something to do with health.
Yeah, improve my physical health. Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing how many gym memberships, et cetera, or gym equipment is purchased and whatever at that time. So the number one is improve my physical health. Number two, improve my mental health.
Mental health.
Which is interesting. Number three, manage my money better. Number four is the one that's relevant, particularly relevant this afternoon, is spend more time with friends and family. So it's a family-focused New Year's resolution. And then you go down the list, travel more, spend less time on social media. That's interesting, isn't it? Reduce the amount of time I spend on my phone, make more sustainable purchases and decisions, and reduce or stop drinking alcohol. There are people that I know that will say, and I don't drink alcohol, but there are people that say, look, after New Year's Day, I'll stop, you know. And mind you, people do this with all sorts of resolutions. So main point, number four on the top New Year's resolutions for 2024 was to spend more time with friends and family.
Wow. We live a very busy life.
We do, don't we? Very, very busy, very full, and when that happens, things can break. Things can fall away, so to speak.
We can easily neglect our family because we live in a very busy world now. Unless we become intentional, family time will not happen by itself.
That's very true, and I guess a positive for having New Year's resolutions or the like. So let's begin. What are some of the key things that the Bible says about families? And some of these would make good New Year's resolutions. Some are just simple facts from Scripture and things from Scripture. But as we discuss them, it'll be interesting. The first point I want to make here is the initial reason for the family is to reproduce, populate the world, and rule over it. And I'm wondering if you can read Genesis 1, verse 28.
Sure. Genesis 1, 28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
So this is God speaking to the first human beings, Adam and Eve. And of course, for humanity, for things to increase, there needed to be Adam and Eve having children. And so God is instructing them to, as Adam and Eve, to actually fill the earth. Now, Scripture doesn't specifically say it in this part of Genesis, but there was clearly a marriage. God would have conducted the first marriage between Adam and Eve on that first day of their creation, which was day six, because Jesus talks about the importance of marriage further on. So, God created the family so it could reproduce and populate the earth. Now, clearly there are some people that, for a variety of reasons, as we've touched on, that may choose not to have a family, or sadly for some that want a family and are unable to do so. there is still a place, and I know a number of people, and I'm thinking of one particular elderly couple that were invested in the lives of many young families and many young people, and those young people today are not so young, and they still look up to this elderly couple who had such a huge impact on their lives. So, number one. Number two, God has a plan for the family, and that is to obey his word. I'm wondering if you can read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7.
6 and 7. Right. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children.
And, yeah, what do you think that's saying there, Ricardo? I guess impress if you can unpack them. That for us a little bit.
It is the responsibility of us as parents to impress these teachings on our kids. We're not to just suppose that they are going to learn about God by themselves. So this places a huge responsibility upon any parent's shoulders, as we if we are really respectful to what God says, then our responsibility is to transfer that knowledge onto our children as well.
Because, I mean, if a couple has a decision to have children, there is a massive responsibility, correct?
Immediately.
Mm. One which we're probably all unqualified for.
Yes.
From a human perspective. I'm just going to read that again, Deuteronomy 6, and I'm going to read from verses 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. It says, and these words, this is God speaking through Moses, but it's Moses speaking, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. It's interesting, isn't it, that focus?
Yes.
What's Moses really saying here?
It sounds to me like he's saying you don't have to have a specific hour or two, a long chat with your children to teach them the Bible. You do it as you go. Every opportunity that you have, as you're walking through the park, as you're sitting on a bench, as you're driving, you use every opportunity you have.
Yeah, so it's not that you have to spend, as you're saying, 2 hours in the Bible with your young children or anything like that. Yes, we should read the Word of God because it's vital, as we're saying here. But it's in the daily matters of life to be continually reminding them and instilling in them that there is a God, and looking at the beauties of nature, looking at the struggles in nature, you know, because of sin. And so I guess being very practical.
By example.
By example and giving examples.
Mm.
So a beautiful picture.
So apart from our worship time as a family, we teach them by example as we walk, as we deal with other people.
And that helps make the teaching process, it solidifies it.
Yes.
Because we can say things, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. But when you've got practical examples, as you said, you might be walking through the park and you might see something, a part of God's creation, and talk about that. You know, how could that happen by chance?
Yes.
Or it could be a whole variety of different scenarios, but actually using those things as examples.
Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle teaching.
It is, absolutely. Now, there is another really important verse, isn't there, on, I guess, the importance of family and what underlies that. And if you can read Psalm 127:1, please.
Sure. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
And so what's that telling us about, I guess, good resolutions for a new year?
Right. We can make all the efforts that we want on our own, but unless we involve God in our decisions, unless God is the center of our family, then it is in vain.
It's all
we're
meaningless.
Weak.
Yep.
Yes. He will keep us strong, and then he will encourage us to continue.
Yeah, no, very, very good. And I guess perhaps if I was to add to that, to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to make make that number one, and for children to learn to know and to understand that. We know that, you know, the book of Genesis intimates that our first human parents spent time with God
Daily
as part of his creation.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that relationship, that trust in God, making sure that God is the center of all relationships.
So the idea that God builds the house means that he's the one making the plans. A lot of times we come to God in prayer and we say, these are my plans and please bless them.
Mm.
But if he's the builder, then he makes the plans. He makes the decisions.
And so we should be seeking that time with God and that wisdom from God so that we do make the right decisions.
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at another one then. Families should be constructed on biblical knowledge and good sense. Mm. And this further goes on. This is Proverbs 24:3, very similar to what you've just read. I wonder if you can read that for us.
Sure. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established.
So biblical knowledge makes good sense.
Yes.
Biblical wisdom makes good sense. Another one which we might talk about as maybe not a New Year's resolution, but in one sense, it's faithfulness and fidelity, if you like, being faithful, and that would be the importance of a monogamous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what does monogamous marriage mean?
One couple, one man and one woman.
Exactly. When I was a kid, there'd be these BMXs, these bikes would do monos. You'd get on a bike and do a mono. Instead of two wheels, you'd pull it up on the one.
Mm-hmm.
And so essentially, a monogamous marriage is that relationship with only one other individual.
That's right.
Why is that critical to the well-being of a family? And it might sound simple, but why is it critical?
I think that children will learn by example as they see the commitment that mom and dad have for each other. There's no one else. So they learn that commitment is important.
Absolutely. And the other thing to realize too is that marriage is a gift from God, and it's a spiritual thing as well because it is from God. Now, no doubt there'll be many, many people that are Christians and non-Christians that have gone through some significant challenges in relationships.
Yes.
And, might not have had the best experiences or might be going through that again, another marriage. And it just highlights that we are all broken because of sin, but the importance, though, of having a husband or a wife, and being in a faithful relationship with that individual.
Also, the importance of allowing God to choose our future spouse.
Very true.
So important, because we lack a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, and there are certainly cultures, aren't there, often the biblical culture was a prearranged marriages, weren't there?
Yes.
There are a number of examples of that in Scripture, and whereas in our Western culture, that's not so much the case, but in other cultures it is. Mm. Now, that's allowing parents and families to organize a marriage. Sometimes that is done for political reasons or cultural reasons, but ultimately, when choosing a partner, if you're not already in a relationship, it's something we should be seeking guidance and wisdom from God, as you said.
For sure. In the biblical times, God's people relied a lot on the knowledge and the wisdom of their parents in order for selecting the future spouse.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And this one on monogamous marriage, you think male and females, they're completely different entity. I mean, we think differently.
Yes.
You know, the vocabulary of women, at least is what we're told popularly, is far greater for females than men. Men might often grunt or nod their head or say nothing, where women often engage, far more frequently, and their word selection is so much better. And so when God brings a male and a female together, they have complementary benefits and blessings they bring to a relationship.
We are different, for sure. Even if when you go to a restaurant and there's a group of people there sitting around a table, you never have a man coming to another man saying, let's go to the toilet. For us men, that's a private thing.
Mm.
But for ladies, that seems to be a social event because they go like, oh, we're going to the toilet, and they go as a group.
Yes,
you
yes.
know, we're so different.
We are. And again, I'm just going to put this out there. While this is not a New Year's resolution, it's part of God blessing. God made Adam and Eve. He made male and female.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make any other option. Mm. So male and female is the divine blueprint, the God's yes. blueprint for relationships, if there is a marriage.
Mm-hmm. And the only way where you can procreate as well.
Absolutely. So let's look at another one then. What about health and welfare of families and requiring submission and love? This is mm-hmm. very interesting.
Yes, indeed. Because men and women are different, God understands that we have different needs as well. And this is a very important aspect. In Ephesians 5, verse 33, if I can read that one perhaps, it talks about that difference that we should pay attention to.
Yes, no, that'd
just
be good.
Going to Ephesians 5:33. I like the way Paul says it. He said, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So we all need different things, but out of all the needs, I think that women need to feel loved.
Yes.
And we need to know how to express it more often.
True, males, men. Yes.
And men have a great necessity, a great need of feeling respected or admired. I mean, when my wife says something good to me, they're like, ah, you're so good at this or that, I feel like I'm on top of the world just because she said it.
And she wants to feel loved.
And she wants to feel loved.
And I'm smiling. People can't see this, but I'm smiling because I do have a book that I haven't read.
Uh-huh.
And my wife, Megan, would probably wish I did. And we have one. We've been married 29 years in January this year. But this book's called Love and Respect. Women want love, men want respect, and so I probably need. I've scanned it, but I probably need to read it. And in that passage there in Ephesians 5, it's probably more broader. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Now, if we stop there, that could be dangerous.
Yes.
In other words, women are meant to be under the thumb. People could read into that. That's not what it's saying. It says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. But then it goes on in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So there is this mutual submission and interdependency between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife.
It's almost as if it's saying, a wife, submit to your husband as long as he's willing to die for you. Like
Jesus,
did.
Exactly, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
If your husbands are listening right now, if you're not willing to give your life for your wife, then don't expect submission at all.
Exactly. And just as Christ did for the church.
Mm-hmm.
There is one more in the next chapter about children. What would that be saying? Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll read it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. What's that saying? What's God really saying there to children, to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? What does it mean?
It's for this is right. It means that it's part of the commandments to start with.
Part of the Ten Commandments,
Part of the Ten Commandments. So it is important. And I like the way that Paul writes it. It says, obey your parents in the Lord.
Yeah, now that's key. What does in the Lord mean?
As long as it doesn't violate any of the Lord's principles,
exactly.
I should obey my parents.
So it's respect and honor and obeying our parents when it doesn't contravene the word of God.
Mm.
Now, you can still respect them if it does contravene, but you won't follow through with what they're saying if it goes against what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And not only, often we look at this for children to obey their parents, but we're always children, aren't we? Even as adults, when we have That's parents, right. we're still their children.
Yep.
So there is still a place for honor and respect, irrespective of age.
That's true. Let's come to a break before we continue. This is very interesting. So far, we've seen the importance that God bestows on the family and any relationships that He has created. So therefore, we need to look after that as well. But for now, let's come to a break and listen to a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. The song is called I Will Be Here. And he wrote this song when his parents were going through a divorce. And he wrote it as a promise to his own wife that he would be there for her by God's grace. So enjoy this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, I Will Be Here. What a beautiful song. Stephen Curtis Chapman, I Will Be Here. Our giveaway this week is the book Whole Person Health by David Marshall. Whole Person Health is a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being, not merely the absence of disease. If you would like to prevent disease rather than curing it or healing yourself, this is the book you would like to read. So, how is this achieved? David Marshall explores the interrelation of the physical, social, mental, and spiritual aspects and searches for the basic principles that undergird the whole person health. So this book deals with the principles for you to be healthy in every area of your life, not just physical, but mentally, spiritual areas of your life. The code to get a free copy of this book is SA245. SA stands for South Australia, as you know, and then 245. Make sure you have no spaces in between these digits. It's simply SA245. And our drive time number is 0488-808-11. So grab your phones right now and text us the code SA245 to 0488-808-11.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. This is Pastor Ricardo, your host for today, and I am joined by Pastor David as my co-host here in the Faith FM studio. This week we are exploring the theme New Year's Resolutions, and I pray that you've been encouraged by what you're listening today in order to make good New Year's resolutions. Today, the big question is a better family. What does the Bible say? And there's a few more things that we can cover, David, and I wonder if you can continue sharing with us a few more verses.
Yeah, thank you, Ricardo. I just want to highlight again for those people there that are in a marriage relationship. We talked about wives submitting to husbands and husbands honoring wives as Christ honored the church. So this mutual submission. We live in a world of turmoil, of distress, of challenge and disagreements. And God is the one that created the family unit, husband and wife marriage. And so I think it's really important when we're thinking about New Year's resolutions, when we're reflecting on the year that we've just mm-hmm. gone through, to do a self-evaluation test, mm-hmm. you know, like a marriage checkup, if you like.
Sure.
If you're married, and or even if you're in a relationship, you know, a boyfriend and girlfriend, what's worked well this year? What areas do I need to reflect on with my wife, or with someone I'm engaged to, or with my husband, et cetera, et cetera? You know, have I given them time? Have I honored them? Have I respected them? Have I shown love to them? And you know, the marriage relationship is strong when we're able to share assertively what we want and how it would make us feel. We're able to share from our heart, not just gloss over and think everything's fine and everything's good when there might be some challenges. And let's face it, every single one of us as human beings is different. And so when two people come together, there is different cultural backgrounds at times, different experiences, family upbringings, et cetera, that people have had. And so it's a continual journey. And the secret to a happy, successful marriage, and we've talked about this, I think, at the beginning, is to have God as the center.
Yes, indeed. And as human beings, we feel tempted when we reflect upon our marriage, for example, or family relationships. We feel tempted to analyze what the other person, our spouse, needs to change. But I think it's much more effective when we try to think what we can do differently, because that's in our power to change.
And so sometimes just on that, it's really healthy to do that. We live in a busy world where there's so much going on, we often don't stop to invest in our relationships, in our marriages. And so for a husband and a wife to do that, to actually take time out and to reflect and to listen to each other about what would be more beneficial for the other person in the relationship, what would help build that relationship and grow it deeper and stronger. And we should do that from a number of fronts. You know, time investment, Mm-hmm. Are we emotionally connected? Are we spiritually connected? And mm-hmm. we could go on. And to reflect on that and actually to put things in place. So yeah. just before we went to the break there, we were talking about the importance of children honoring their fathers and mothers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And while we have a father and mother, and if you're older in life, you're still a child.
Mm-hmm.
So we often look at that text thinking of it as young children honoring their parents.
Mm.
But there's also the element, right. isn't there, as we get older in life, the lifelong commandment.
Mm.
Yeah, even for parents who have parents.
Yes.
To honor, because they're children, to honor their parents.
Mm.
So we looked at that, but I want you to take us, Ricardo, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 21.
Sure. That verse says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged."
Yeah.
What a good verse.
What good a good advice. Verse. And this is talking to, this says here, fathers, this is both to you and I. And if I read Ephesians 6, it says, verse 4, "And you mm-hmm. fathers do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training of the Lord and admonition of the Lord." Is this just talking to men, to fathers?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, our words as parents are so powerful.
Yes.
Even when your kids are growing up, when they're little, whatever you say, they believe, right?
Yes.
If you say they can fly, they may jump out the window, and because whatever you say is true.
Particularly when they're very young.
Yes. So we need to be careful how we say things, because we can discourage for life sometimes our children as they grow. If we continue saying things like, you are good for nothing, or you can always do things in the wrong way, they will, you know, have some sort of a trauma, or that will carry on through their lives.
That's very true. And so as parents, we need to be mindful, as fathers and mothers, but as parents, mm-hmm. that through the miracle of birth that bring individuals new mm-hmm. lives into the world, there is this awesome responsibility of ensuring with God's grace that we care for them and raise them and don't damage yes. them as such. What now there is hope, though, isn't there, for we've all failed, correct?
Yes.
Every parent has yes. failed.
I think we all feel the same way, but if I could go back in time, I would do so many things differently. We mm. have that. And I guess if you're feeling that way right now, any of you listeners, it's because you are trying to do the best thing.
Exactly. And I think the key thing here is to be spending, as parents, time in significant prayer, mm. praying for your children, praying that God will change your life, your heart, where it needs changing, and how best to support your children, because they're all different, correct? Every child
they
is
are.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, Ricardo, we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to speak to your children when you get up and when you get down mm. and when you're out and about. What's the importance of family worship? What does that mean, and what could it look like?
Family worship, that personally, I believe it doesn't need to be long.
No.
But constant. Every day we should have a short devotion, sitting together with our family.
Yes.
Going through Bible text, sharing ideas, praying together, because that sets the tone for the rest of the day. You start the day with God, you finish it with God mm. as well. And then throughout the day, as the verse is saying, you keep teaching that as you go, the way that you react to different situations, and obviously by talking to your children about anything from God.
So it's reinforcing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a coming together as well, isn't it? Family yeah. worship is a coming together, beginning and end of the day. Doesn't have to be long, as you say, and it's reflecting on the goodness of God. The other thing I'd suggest is the importance of families worshiping. And the mm. Bible is big on this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it talks about don't stop meeting together mm-hmm. in worship, as is the manner of some, the mm-hmm. author of Hebrews says. So to actually have a church place that's a broader family.
Yes.
And so for those listeners that are listening to this, you might not have a family, you might not have a partner, you might mm. not have children, but there is a broader family. It's the church family, yes. the family of God.
Yes.
And if you don't have children, sometimes you have more time to invest in multiple children and multiple families. It might be a one-parent family or a broken family. So the importance of meeting together, and in finishing, Ricardo, I want to also encourage our listeners, the importance of family celebrating gratitude and thankfulness of what God has done, and then the outplay of that, the importance of service for families and their children to serve others, because that's what God did.
And that can be done in the family circle, or also, if you don't have a family, in their local church.
Absolutely. And also, even outside of that, in the community around us as well. So the importance of worship, family worship, the importance of gratitude, of thankfulness, the importance of service, along with everything else that we've said. These are key things. And so as people come to the new year and they're contemplating what's worked and what hasn't worked as well as it could have, let's think of some spiritual things when it comes to families that God might be putting on our hearts.
Excellent. Those are very good resolutions that we could do, we could have for the next year in regards to our family. So I really pray that God will bless us as we make these promises.
And I look forward and pray, I look forward to again joining with our listeners next year in 2025. So I want to wish everyone just a really good year end and a positive start to 2025.
That's right. God bless you richly, dear listeners. Let's thank you, David, for this study, and it's time to pray as our time is up. Dear Father in heaven, we have so many reasons to thank you for, but we thank you for families. We thank you for these relationships that you've created for us to be happy and for us to understand more about you. Lord, as we come closer to the end of the year, we pray that you may help us make the right decisions, the right promises, help us to implement the right changes that we need for our happiness as well. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This was Pastor Ricardo and Pastor David. Please join us tomorrow for another Drive Time BQ&A show as we look at how to improve our spiritual life. Until then, remember the Bible says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, verse 15. May God bless you all.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.